Okay, then we continue with music, with the next talk, which is Become a Rockstar Using Free and Open Source Software. Please welcome Lorenzo.
Thank you very much. And it's going to be a hard job following up a guy that brought a synthesizer and an amplifier. I didn't bring anything to the table, so you'll just have to endure me talking about it. I hope it's fine anyway. And first of all, this is my first talk in open media, and I already feel like a fraud because, clickbait alert, I'm not a rock star at all. I mean, this is an email that I got from Spotify last month. I got two listeners last month. One of those was me. So I think on average, you need a bit more than that. We actually call the rock star, but it doesn't really matter. I had a lot of fun in the past few years just playing with music and open source. I mean, and I had to use this for something rather than just show them around the home. And for a living, of course, I don't do any music at all. I'm just a hobbyist musician, and that's what I'll be talking about today. In the real world, I am a WebRTC developer. I'm, for instance, involved in some of the things that Dan mentioned in his previous talk. I love a lot hard rock, metal, orchestral music, symphonic music, when they work together as well. And this is something that I've been trying to do in my own music as well. And here you can find some links if you want to get in touch. For instance, you can get in touch on Mastodon, a couple of links to my music as well, and so on and so forth. And this is just a very basic and completely out of order table of contents. So I talk about a few different things, and I will not follow this order because I will mostly follow the order by which I learned how to do things with music and Linux in the first place. So how I tried to dip my toes into a few different things and how I eventually learned how to do some more complex things in the process. And of course, it will be a very, if you pass the term, a very dumb presentation, because I will only scratch the surface. I'll try to introduce several different concepts and really just to tickle your interest enough so that maybe you have your own guitar getting dust at home. You don't know how to get it started with, for instance, using your laptop to do some music, and maybe this presentation will tickle your interest and you'll start doing something. And besides, there is a very good chance that I'll say something dumb as well. Or maybe something incorrect. So if I do, please bear with me. It's really a high-level presentation and something that's really meant as an introduction, not really something that goes very much in detail. And when I first started learning about all this, I was really surprised by how mature, for instance, Linux and the audio ecosystems was to actually do music production on those machines, because you always assumed, the word around was Linux is not good enough to do real-time music, you have to use Windows or macOS or whatever. And I disagree with that, because especially when I started with Jack at the time, I found a very interesting ecosystem to do things. And especially I really loved the port-based approach that allowed you not to use monolithic applications to do things, but you have different applications that you can just connect arbitrarily any way you want, possibly use the same source for multiple to connect to multiple applications, implement very complex workflows, and all in real time and very low latency, which was really amazing. And the fact that you can have all these different applications talking to each other means that you also often have a lot of different applications implementing more or less the same requirements. So you'll have different synthesizers or different ways of implementing effects for your guitars and so on. And often they don't really need to be a substitution for one or the other. Maybe for one genre, it's better to use some applications. For some others, it's better using others. It's really up to your preference and how you like to work with music. And some tools may make sense more than others in that sense. And it's probably useless to make this distinction right now because we just had a very interesting presentation by Ernst, who explained a bit what MIDI signals are. So when we talk about music production, especially on Linux and Jack, you do have to know basically that you have audio signals, so a sound that has already been processed, recorded or something, a waveform of some sort, and MIDI signals that just carry information that is then used to produce sounds. And so, of course, these two can go through very different workflows. Different applications can handle just one or both or maybe none at all. What's really important, though, is, again, how you can actually have different applications that you connect arbitrarily on your own way. And that was at the very basis of how Jack was conceived at the very beginning. And Jack, a few years ago, was really the way to do very low latency audio on Linux systems. The downside of that it was a bit complex to set up and manage. And luckily, and we've seen a presentation by Wim this morning, PipeWire has made this so much simpler. So I was a bit skeptical at the beginning. I just jumped the wagon a couple of weeks ago, And basically, Pipewire comes with an implementation of Jack that basically hides all the complex. I mean, the applications think they are still using Jack, but in practice, you are using Pipewire instead, which means that you can start using also applications that were not specifically conceived for Jack purposes and work on them together while you work on music production of some sort. And all of these small boxes that you see over there are basically different processes. And you see that some of them have inputs, some of them have outputs, either one or both, these sort of things. And this is what allows you to basically just arbitrarily connect different applications to each other to, again, create more complex workflows that you can get out of what a single application can do. And I'll show a couple of practical examples in a minute. So let's assume that you have that home guitar getting dusted home, and now you want to get some noise. You want to connect it to your laptop and do something. So what you don't do is, of course, just plug it in the microphone slot, because that will cause problems. What you need is some sort of an audio interface instead. So something like an external sound card that has some inputs that do accept your instrument instead. And you often these interfaces come with USB interfaces and so are very easy to plug. Your operating system will very likely recognize them out of the box. And they will be available as a system capture and so as one of these boxes that we saw over there. So something that you can connect to something else. And the one that I have at home, and spoiler alert, it didn't come with the cat. The cat came with something else. So I personally bought this Focusrite Scarlett Solo because it's quite inexpensive. It's very common among hobbyists because it already provides decent enough quality for recording at home. It's very flexible, and I really like it a lot. And basically, the one that I bought basically comes with two separate inputs. So it has a USB interface, so it's recognized as an external USB sound card by the operating system. And mine in particular, I think later versions changed this a bit, but it comes with one input that is XLR, the typical cable that you use for microphones, for instance. And another one is the cable, the typical guitar jack slot. And since it's two different inputs, when you connect it to the operating system, the box that you see, which may have this name or entirely different name depending on what you're using, shows two different channels, which means that depending on where you are actually plugging what you want to plug, it will come out of one of those two different channels for what you want to do, which opens the door to a lot of different things that you can do, because, for instance, I could plug my guitar directly into this external sound card. In this case, I'm plugging it into the jack slot, that capture number two, which means that I can then use this capture number two to do something. The dumbest thing that I can do is just connect it to the playback system so that I hear what I'm playing just unencoded. So I don't hear any effects. It's just the raw sound of the guitar, but it's something that I can do. Of course, I can do something more interesting, and we'll show an example later. Or maybe you have a very good amplifier at home and a very good microphone. You put the microphone in front of the amplifier. You connect it to the first slot, and what you get when you on your laptop is an already distorted, for instance, sound of your guitar out of your amplifier. Or maybe you can use them both at the same time, which is what I do often for classical and acoustic guitars, for instance, where I attach both the pickup of the guitar, whether it's integrated or added, and I put a microphone in front of the guitar just so that I capture different frequencies, different sounds, and together they give me a more full sound than what they would give me individually. I mean, again, it's just very simple examples that show you that before you couldn't do anything with an external sound card like this. Now you have ways to put your instrument and get it part of a workflow in your own laptop and do something cool. And one cool thing that you could do, for instance, is just launch GuitarX. GuitarX is a very complex and effective guitar simulator, basically. So it has different beats that you can, it's very configurable, so you can create your own configuration. You can choose the different beats, what you want, how you want your amplifier to look like. I'm really stupid in that sense, so I never really try to do it myself. I work a lot with presets shared by the community. But if you are savvy enough, you can just do things on your own to really shape your own sound so that the guitar sounds exactly how you want it to sound like. And when you launch GuitarX, it basically spawns two different boxes as far as Jack or / Pipewire. And again, when I'm saying Jack, you can assume I'm also just implying Pipewire usage as a consequence. basically it comes with two different boxes, one as an amplifier and one for effects. And then it means that since we had the jack in my Scarlett Focusrite was capture number two, I connect that to the amplifier, I connect the amplifier to the effects, I connect the effects to whatever I want, playback, something that records it. It's really that simple. So you have already created a workflow out of that bit that you managed to capture thanks to the external audio interface. Another application that I love a lot as a guitar player is Rack a Rack. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not, which is not a guitar amplifier simulator as Guitarix is. It's basically a pedal board simulator instead. So it has a lot of different effects that you can use and combine. You can. It also comes with a lot of different presets. I particularly love the clean sounds that you can get out of Rack a Rack. And again, similar approach. You connect your whatever capture you had your guitar on to Rack a Rack, and then the output of that, so the processed sound of the guitar, will it's something that you can end up using. You can do something more complex, or in some cases also dumbed, by just possibly using both Guitarix and Rack a Rack at the same time, so putting them one after the other. This is a very simple example, and probably doesn't make sense to have the FX box in between there, but this is a similar approach is what I use, for instance, myself in one of the songs, because I had an effect that I liked in Guitarix, but I also need a sustainer effect in Rack a Rack as well. So I basically just chained them in my workflow. I plugged my guitar in the sound card, that Guitarix distorted, and then Rack a Rack do some more things with the sound before I actually used it for something. And again, this is just very simple examples that are meant to show you how easy it is to create a workflow using different applications out of sounds that you have access to do some interesting and really cool things. And so let's assume that basically now we managed to get a decent sound. Now we just want to record something because we want to either write a song or whatever. And of course, if you want to do something very simple, so just record the sounds and then use them somewhere else, you can use any tool that is actually able of consuming these sources. And so Audacity or GStreamer come to mind, but there's so many more. If you want to do something more complex, maybe work to write a song, no matter how complex it is, you'll want to work within some sort of a project instead. So maybe in an application that is capable of handling multiple tracks at the same time and that maybe can add different filters to all these tracks that you're having. So because you need a compressor on one or maybe reverb on some tracks or you need equalization or something like this. And this is the kind of application that you use a digital audio workstation for, and DAW is a short term for that. And mostly because these kind of applications are specifically conceived to do exactly that. So possibly record things in real time or use existing assets, edit and produce all these different audio files in different ways. They often support MIDI as well. And especially most of them have a modular nature that allows you to use existing modules that are part of the open source ecosystem to add different effects to any of those tracks, either as a whole, for instance, a filter that applies to multiple tracks at the same time, or just one of them, and so on and so forth, because you may want equalization, compression, I mean, whatever is part of the usual audio editing process in a regular music studio, if you want, is something that a digital audio workstation can provide for you. So if you've ever heard, for instance, of Pro Tools and stuff like this, this is exactly what a digital audio workstation can do for you. And the one that I personally use is called Ardour, which is a very powerful component. I personally use this because it was the first one I stumbled upon. I fell in love with it at the time, and I just kept on learning. But again, there are more than that you can use out there. There's Qtractor, there's Reaper, which is not open source, but is also very used in the with open source applications as well. And one thing that you'll notice when you start using an application like this is that the boxes in that graph that I showed, for instance, on jack or pipe, are is going to explode because a digital audio workstation is going to handle a lot of tracks, and those tracks are going to be connected to a lot of things. And so you'll see a huge amount of connections out there. And luckily for you, it's not you don't really have to create those connections on your own because otherwise you would go crazy. Often it's the digital audio workstation that does this for you, and there are easier ways to change those connections if you need to from the user interfaces of all those applications. And most importantly, this shows that no matter how monolithic now this application can look like, it's still able to communicate with all those external applications that we mentioned. So you can still have, for instance, an Arduino session open, a GitarX session open, you connect your guitar to GitarX, and then you connect your GitarX to that in order for it to record it. Or maybe you have GitarX as a plugin so that you just record the clean sound and then you have it processed in different ways anytime that you need it, these sort of things. And so let's assume that we have now bass and guitars. I'm assuming that bass and guitars, you can process them pretty much the same way. I'm sure that there are bass players that will disagree with me, but the concept is like this. Let's say that you now need drums. And let's assume that you're like me. I'm a WebRTC developer. I have no friends, so I don't have any drummer friend either. So I have to create a virtual one instead, so something that plays drums for me because I am at home doing nothing, and which means that this is the very first good example of a virtual instrument. So I need to write the drum parts somehow, and then I need to sequence them somehow, which means that the drum parts will be the instructions, so what I want to be played, and then something will actually translate them to a kick sound, a snare sound, these sort of things. And of course, you can just write the MIDI manually or use something like Melrose, as we've seen. What I found out that is for drums, it's much easier to work with a pattern base instead, mostly because of the rhythmic nature of the instrument and the fact that you can often do some repetitions, maybe some variations, and then just play a bit with those instead. And personally, I like Hydrogen a lot in that sense, because it's basically, it allows you to create multiple patterns. For instance, it has all the different parts of a drum. You can say within the context of a measure, play this snare at this, and this point, a kick here and here and here. You create different patterns, you specify the sequence of those patterns, or even some patterns in parallel if you use some patterns just to create variations, these sort of things. And then you basically, Hydrogen plays drums for you out of what you just wrote, basically. And while Hydrogen comes with its own sounds, which is really cool, I personally just use Hydrogen to write the parts, but then use Drum Gizmo to actually render them, mostly because Drum Gizmo is probably the most advanced drum renderer that is out there, because it's basically a lot of drum keys that were captured and recorded by professional drummers. They created samples, and then using Drum Gizmo, you can replay them also using... I'm not even going to try and explain how Drum Gizmo works, because it's very complex, but it's... suffice it to say that it has so many channels that it's the best way to actually get drum sounds out there and also work with them within the mixing process. Which means that from a jack perspective, I just use Hydrogen to generate the drum parts, and then I connect the MIDI output of Hydrogen to Drum Gizmo, and then whatever Drum Gizmo generates, I use within the context of my own application. That's basically how it works. And now that we dipped our toe in the MIDI world, what can we do with other instruments? Because maybe we want a keyboard background, a pad, or a piano solo, or even a full orchestra behind our music. And again, this is what MIDI is for, because basically we don't have access to a whole orchestra, because I don't have 30,000 euros to pay a lot of players. So what I do is I just sketch and write the notes for all the different instruments that are involved, and then those notes, that information, will be translated to actual sounds. So something will be played by something that simulates strings, something else will simulate a trumpet, these sort of things. And of course, these notes can come from different places. It can come from an hardware keyboard, as we saw in the previous presentation with Melrose, or it can come from something that you wrote, for instance, using Melrose or other approaches. And I am not a keyboard player, but I did buy this small tiny thing over here that, again, is just plug and play. You plug it in there, it becomes a MIDI input that you can use for different things. And once you have it, you can have a lot of different ways of rendering MIDI sound. Sound fonts are historically the oldest and easiest way to do that. And the QSynth, thanks to FluidSynth, is one of the most popular ways to actually play them. So you download a sound font from somewhere that contains all the sounds that are associated to different instruments. And then, for instance, you just connect your keyboard to FluidSynth using the MIDI part, and that eventually gets generated to actual sounds that you can then use for something else. If you don't want to use sound fonts, maybe you want to use a synthesizer instead. There's plenty of those as well. I use Yoshimi a lot, but there's also Zinatsu by FX. So very complex name, but They are basically, they share a lot of code because Yoshimi was actually a fork of that. There is Surge, which is also another excellent synthesizer. So in that case, there is no sound bank they start from. They actually generate the sound depending on what you want to do. And again, I'm dumb, so I never aim at creating my own synthesized sounds. But if you are if you know more about that, it's something that you can do. And again, it works pretty much the same way. You can connect your keyboard to Yoshimi, and Yoshimi, you can connect the sound to that as well. And in this example, I also wanted to highlight the fact that, again, you can connect the same source to multiple things. So in this example, I'm connecting my keyboard to both Yoshimi and that sound from the application that I showed before, so that whatever I play sounds both like a synthesizer and a piano at the same time. Oh, yeah, I'll just fly over the last slide. So for Xando files are also very interesting to do the same thing. You can use Windows VSTs over there as well via Lin VST, for instance. If you want to write music, you can use Lilypon, Melrose, MuseScore, which I personally like a lot. If you don't know music notation, you can use Piano Rolls. And if you want to then publish this, you can. There's a lot of places where you can publish your music, but what I really encourage to do, however you publish your music, make sure that you engage the community in order to exchange information. So for instance, I use a lot Linux musicians, and the main author of Linux musicians is there as well. He asked me to tell you there's a lot of stickers that you can get from here if you want. It's an excellent place to get in touch with other musicians working, you know, in the open source space, so that you exchange ideas. You publish a piece, they give you advice. It's an excellent place to learn. You may want to add video like I did with my Viking metal cover of All You Want for Christmas Is by Mariah Carey, and that's a fun watch if you want to see it. I talked also a bit about WebRTC used for musicians as well, which in a previous presentation that you may want to look at. And then that's basically it. These are again my contacts if you want to have a look at that. Unfortunately, I didn't speak fast enough, sorry.
question from the floor. Question? Yeah.
Thanks for the presentation.
Oh, no, thank you.
One basic question for the audio chain that slides at the show.
Yeah.
So Pipewire has a GUI front end where you can actually do the chain, or how does it work?
Yeah, basically, I personally use... Oh, sorry. Yeah. The question was, does Pipewire also have the way of showing those different boxes that you can connect in order to create a workflow? I personally still use QJack Control, which was a front end specifically conceived for Jack, mostly because Pipewire implements Jack as well. And so QJack Controls allows you to create the same connections from the Jack perspective, but there are some applications that are specifically conceived for Pipewire as well. It really works the same way. You have these different boxes, and you can connect them any way that you want.
And for Jack, it's also a GUI, or you scripted?
No, it's you can script it if you want, but you can definitely use a GUI. I always use a GUI because otherwise you go crazy. So.
Any other question? We're not finished yet, please, guys. Any other question?
I'm sorry? Yeah, the one that I use, since I work a lot with metal, the one that I prefer is called the Muldior Kit, which, yeah, I personally love that one a lot, but there are a lot of excellent tools out there, so thank you. Which one, sorry? YaBridge, no, for Windows VSTs, the one that I use the most are some free VSTs by Spitfire Audio, the Spitfire Labs Audio. They have a lot of free different VSTs that have very interesting and experimental sounds, and those are the ones that I like the most. Yeah, there are different ways. So Lin VST is the one that I found to be the easiest, but you can use DSSI VOS, for instance, is another way to do that, but there are different approaches. Personally, the one that worked consistently for me was Lin VST. That's just why I use that. Sorry.
If I install Pipewire, can I get rid of Pulse Audio?
Yeah, no, because Pipewire is basically a replacement for both Pulse Audio and Jack, even though it's compliant with both of them. So you can just
I can just play a video from YouTube.
Yeah, exactly, while you record your guitar, which is something that you couldn't do before. And besides, Pipewire also does an excellent thing. For instance, with just playing jack, I couldn't attach two different audio interfaces to my computer. I had to choose one or use Zeta to add another. Instead, with Pipewire, I can plug as many as I want, and they all appear, which is great. Maybe. I think I have to...
Do we have time for a question afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely. Just
pick up.
Yeah, I'll come outside in a second.
Piacere di conoscerti, Lorenzo.
Oh, ciao, piacere, Lorenzo.
Ho usato Jandus.
Ah, ottimo, ottimo.
Per la
zia. Ciao. Ok.
Che musica ti ha
piaciuto? Sì, no, piuttosto.
No, speriamo che sia decente, poi non lo so.
Ciao, grazie a tutti.
Thank you. Does it really work well? I'll just come and talk in a second because I think I have to wait. So can you wait me outside?
Sorry, thank you.
Sorry, no worries.